So I would like to welcome everyone sitting here on a very interesting meeting, few days after Brexit became a fact. We have here Minister, Her Majesty Minister.
Well, I'm not a monarch yet. So.
Okay. Mr. Richard Pincher, who is responsible for relations with the EU and US. And he will give us the speech informing. He's very busy now. He attended meetings with our government in the morning. We have a person from our institute who was present on that meeting. That's why I have that information that you were there. But the floor is yours. I'm not the person to talk here. I'm here on everyday terms.
Well, Professor Zhukovska, thank you very much for those few kind words and that unsolicited testimonial, uprating me from a mere minister of the United Kingdom to a majesty, to a member of the royal family. I'm very, very honoured, and I'm very grateful to all of you for giving me your time to come here today. I'm sorry that I'm a little late. It's nice to see that London isn't the only city that has traffic problems. Walsall does as well, but I got here eventually. It's also a real pleasure to see so many younger faces in the audience. That tells me one of two things. It tells me that either the diplomatic corps in Warsaw is getting very much younger these days, or that there are some students in the audience. I think I'm going to assume that the latter is the case, and that the older and wiser people that I see before me are the members of the diplomatic corps. So thank you very much for all coming. It's a great pleasure for me, as a member of, or a graduate of the London School of Economics, to come to visit for the first time our Polish cousin here in Warsaw. This is the second time that I've visited Warsaw. I was here for Euro 2012, some 8 years ago. This is a much quieter visit for me than the experience I had 8 years ago. But I want to thank you all for giving me the chance to speak to you at what, as you know, is a special time in European relations, because it can't have escaped your notice that one or two little things have been going on in the United Kingdom over the past several weeks, months, and years. And it won't have escaped your notice that on January the 31st, February the 1st, of course, if you're on European time, the British people were delivered the promise that was made to them 3 years ago. We have fulfilled their instruction to leave the European Union. Now, 3.5 years is quite a long time. I know I was in the government whip's office, trying to get legislation through when the government had no majority. And I know how very many hairs I lost as a result of all of those efforts. And I know how long the last 3.5 years has been. I'm told that you here know it as well. And that in Poland, you started using the word Brexitowicz, which I understand means repeatedly saying that you're going to leave a party, but never actually leaving. Well, Brexitowicz has been done. We have left the party. And today we can proudly say that we have followed the instruction of the British people. But there's some good news, and that's that there's no need to find a word for the next phase in our relationship. And if I'm allowed to really twist the Polish language, or at least the pronunciation of it, it's Pieśniazja. No, Pieśnia. There we are. Which I believe means friendship in Polish, although I suspect I've just lost a lot of friends by pronouncing it so very, very badly. But now, you know, all joking aside, the important work begins, because we have to build a new sort of relationship between the United Kingdom and Europe. Now, that relationship will inevitably be different, but I am confident, and I hope that you will be too, that ultimately we will develop a friendly relationship built upon the best interests of all of our people. As our Prime Minister said on Monday, we now want to agree a relationship with the European Union which is based on friendly cooperation between sovereign equals, and it's centred on free trade. A relationship with our European friends inspired by our shared history and values. And we're not asking for any special or bespoke or unique deal. We want a Canada-style free trade agreement which covers goods and services and cooperation in other areas. We agree and we accept that that comes with consequences for market access for both sides. But nonetheless, the United Kingdom believes a free trade agreement can be reached with zero tariffs and quotas. And our newfound independence will also give us the freedom to expand our horizons and raise our ambitions. Amongst other things, that means that we'll be able to embrace new economic opportunities and strengthen our involvement in key multilateral organisations like the WTO, the OSCE. It also means that we will be able to strengthen our ability to hold human rights abusers to account by introducing so-called Magnitsky provisions into our sanctions legislation. That was announced in the Queen's speech to Parliament last December, which outlined the government's legislative programme for the forthcoming year. And in our wider foreign policy, as the Prime Minister has said, we're here as ever, as we have been for decades, for centuries, to support and help as we always have done. We'll remain committed to NATO and to strengthening the rules-based international system, and we're determined to mobilise international action on issues that matter, from girls' education to climate change and from human rights to upholding international law. And Poland will continue to be a key partner in those efforts, as it has been in the United Nations, bilaterally and beyond. We want to and we will support Poland's work in the Human Rights Council and under its upcoming OSCE chairmanship. On defence and security, the United Kingdom and Poland remain steadfast allies. We're both pillars of NATO. And in this year, we will come together once again to mark the anniversaries of landmark moments and pivotal battles which affected us both so deeply in World War II. We in the United Kingdom hugely value Poland's contribution to European and Euro-Atlantic security. For 20 years, you have been able and like-minded NATO allies, and one of the few that meets its spending and resourcing obligations. 2% of our GDP is expended on NATO. British troops stand shoulder to shoulder with their Polish counterparts in northeast Poland, keeping our people and our continent safe. We're also working together to counter the very real and present danger of cyber attacks and hybrid tactics, the new ways of conducting warfare, like disinformation. And our law enforcement agencies are cooperating closely to counter shared threats from serious organised crime. Now, in terms of prosperity, in the last 10 years, the United Kingdom's exports to Poland have more than doubled. And Polish exports to the United Kingdom, I'm sad to say you're in the lead, have more than trebled. Our bilateral trade is worth £22 billion a year, making Poland our leading trade partner in Central Europe. Now, we're working closely with the Polish government to develop new opportunities for British and Polish businesses, innovators and startups through our regular business, trade and investment forums. And I want to see those grow and deepen and develop and become even more successful. But on climate change, one of the biggest challenges of our generation, tackling that has to be a global effort. And that's why we'll work with Poland to strengthen our clean growth relationship and build a green, sustainable and prosperous future. We're looking forward to hosting COP26 in Glasgow later this year, and I'm sure that we can learn a few lessons from Poland's experience hosting not one, not two, but three previous COPs. We're confident that we can drive effective global action on climate through green finance and nature-based solutions. This is where we want to focus our collaboration with Poland, on carbon pricing and a fair transition to greener energy sources. And incidentally, when I first became a Member of Parliament in 2010, I joined the Parliamentary Energy and Climate Change Select Committee. And when I joined that committee back in 2010, 45% of Britain's energy baseload was driven through coal-fired power stations. Now, we've transitioned to gas, coal has disappeared, and we're using more and more green technology like offshore wind. It can be done, and together we have to make sure that it's done across our continent and around the world to meet the climate change challenge. I'm also confident that our bilateral relationship with Poland will continue to deepen and strengthen. Last year, we celebrated the 100th anniversary of the renewal of diplomatic relations and our friendship. There have been some incredibly evocative and symbolic moments during that century. The pianist and your Prime Minister, Ignacy Paderewski, his concert in the Royal Albert Hall back in 1933. I don't suppose there's anybody here that actually remembers that, but it was a seminal moment in our relationship. Our Queen's visit and address to the same in 1996. And most recently, of course, we've had the visit of the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge in 2017. But you don't have to take those three examples or my word for it to believe it, because if you want to really understand the strength of that relationship, to mark it, the British Embassy here in Warsaw and the Polish Embassy in London have put together a photographic exhibition of the highlights, or at least some of them, in our relationship, and it's well worth a visit. So drop in, have a look, remind yourself of the strength of our bilateral relationships now and over the last century. Now, it's only right to recognise that our relationship is also underpinned and strengthened by the close and enduring connections between our people. Over the last 100 years, we've fought together, we've cracked a few codes together, and we have worked together. Our shared history has brought our cultures and our people together, and that remains true to this day. Almost 1 million Poles have made their homes in the United Kingdom. They're our workmates, our neighbours, our friends. In many cases, they're our relatives. In my constituency, where I represent in the United Kingdom, a place called Tamworth, we've got a thriving Polish community, we've got Polish shops. We get along just fine. Those people have built a living bridge between us, connecting London and Warsaw, Edinburgh and Krakow. And I've yet to find an industry or sector of British society that has not benefited from the knowledge, the expertise and the hard work of Polish people. From education, housing, the NHS, cutting-edge research, innovation, and the bloke at the end of my street who I buy my newspaper from every week. All those people, Polish people in our community, in the United Kingdom, are producing great work and providing us with great services. The Belvedere Forum is a great vehicle for celebrating and promoting those sorts of people-to-people and cultural links. The fourth gathering will take place in London in about 4 weeks' time. We'll be bringing together civil society leaders from both the United Kingdom and Poland to discuss how they can help to strengthen our bilateral ties even further. So, we're all friends, we're close allies, and as we open this new chapter in our relationship, I'm really very optimistic, hugely optimistic about the opportunities that lie ahead for all of us. And I know my Polish counterparts in the Polish government and the Polish embassy in London are keen to work with us together to seize these new opportunities. And for those of you, the younger people with more hair and more hope than some of us at the front here, for those of you just starting out on your careers, I want to wish you every success. I really do hope that you will be able to make your own contribution to the relationship between the United Kingdom and Poland. If you've never been to London or Tamworth or anywhere else in the UK, come, visit us, find out what we're like, make friends with us and see what we can learn and offer together. Because it's by being together that we can build a safer and greener and more prosperous future. So thank you very much for listening, and I look forward to receiving your very easy questions. Thank you. Who's in charge? Professor.
Hi, Joanna Pluchinska. I'm a reporter with Reuters in Warsaw. I have a question for you about the upcoming trade negotiations between the UK and the EU and between the UK and the US. What do you think will be the most problematic elements of these negotiations? What is the UK most concerned about?
Well, we are very keen to, with our European Union friends, build a future relationship which is based upon free trade, a Canadian free trading model with no tariffs and no quotas. I suspect there'll be some friction around the edges and we'll need to work through how that is going to be resolved. But I don't think that there should be a challenge. I like to think of it as an opportunity to forge that new relationship. We'll have to work hard because we've only got 11 months to get it done. But with determination and with innovation, we can. If you think back to last year, there were many, many people saying that there was no way that the European Union and the United Kingdom could negotiate an enhanced withdrawal agreement, which could get through the British Parliament. But we did. And about 2 weeks ago, it went through the British Parliament, and we are now out of the European Union in an orderly way with a withdrawal agreement. I think we'll also have to work hard with our United States colleagues to build a free trade agreement with the US, but we are ready to go. We've got a good team under Liz Truss, our Secretary of State for International Trade, and whenever I see US diplomats, they say to me, we're ready, let's go. If you listen to what Mike Pompeo said the other day in London, he said the United Kingdom is at the front of the queue for a trade deal. So I think there is an appetite to get this done, and I think that is the way that we should approach those negotiations with determination and with optimism.
Hi, my name, my name is Martin, and I'm a master's student at this university. And you are talking quite a lot about economic, political cooperation, right? And actually, I have a question concerning the education. So I might go for further studies to London or somewhere else in the UK, maybe Scotland. And my brother, my younger brother, has just finished his high school, and he's about to go to either LSE or Edinburgh, so Scotland. So I wanted to ask you, what's your approach toward that topic? What about the education? What about the future of Polish potential students wanting to study abroad in the UK?
Well, thanks, Martin. We do want people to come to the United Kingdom. We think we've got rather good educational institutions in the UK. I rather think the LSE is a very good one, but you know, I'm biased. But we've got some great education institutions, and we hope that people from around the world, including the EU, will make use of them. With respect to students applying now, then there'll be no change to any form of fees or costs if they're applying to go to university now. I can't promise you what it will be in 3 or 4 or 5 years' time. That's clearly something which we'll still want to work through. But the Prime Minister made really clear when he spoke, I think, at the end of last year, that he wants students from around the world to come to the UK, learn about us, learn from us, and then take those skills that they learn and either use them in Britain, and we'd like you to stay for a little while if you want to stay for a couple of years and work and gain more skills in London or elsewhere, please do that. But if you want to go home or somewhere else around the world, take those skills and that education that you've got, do that as well. We're an open and welcoming country, and education is absolutely crucial to the success of any person and any economy. So do feel free to come, but certainly apply to the LSE.
Could you tell us a little bit more about the...
Thank you. You sketched out something about the Belvedere Forum. As far as I can see, it hasn't had very much publicity in Poland. Could you fill in some details, please?
Well, I'm sorry.
Because
to hear
it was
that.
A project after the referendum, wasn't it?
It's a fairly new innovation, yes. I think it's in its fourth year now. I'm very keen that it develops because I'm one of those people that believes that as much as we need to do better trade together, as much as we need to have strong security links, things like cultural exchanges, educational programs, civic society activity is really very important. So when I met the Polish ambassador to London for the first time in August, it was one of the first things that he raised with me, and I'm going to make sure I raise it with our ambassador there, to do our best to raise the Belvedere Forum's profile here in Poland too. It's interesting that you say that it doesn't have a high enough one. I'd like to see it improve and grow so it becomes one of those building blocks of our bilateral relationship. But don't think that because you haven't heard about it or haven't heard enough about it that we're not interested in it. We are. We will make sure that you find out some more. And I'll track with you to talk to the ambassador to see what we can do to make that become a reality.
Mark Richardson, geographically opinion of the Scottish people? And secondly, given what has happened, how long do you think that Great Britain can continue to exist in this country?
Well, I'm sure you're having a great time living here in Poland, and I hope that you are contributing to Polish society. Look, the fact of the matter is that there was a referendum in Scotland 5 or 6 years ago when Scotland decided to remain a part of the United Kingdom. The United Kingdom.
No, to remain in the European Union, sir. You know it is lies.
If I may finish, sir, you're entirely entitled to your opinion, but I'm entitled to mine, and I'm just relaying to you the facts as expressed in that referendum in 2014 when Scotland voted clearly to remain within the United Kingdom. The United Kingdom has voted to leave the European Union, and that is what we have done, executing our constitutional duty to the British people, of whom Scotland chose in 2014 to remain apart.
Scotland chose to remain in the EU, sir. You had the second referendum, and you're taking us out of Europe against our democratically expressed will. The UK will not continue to exist.
I think that we're not going to agree, but you've had my answer. It's a clear one, and it's a democratic one.
Maybe let's go to the next question. Margaret Bonikowska from the Center for International Relations. Sir, welcome. Very happy to see you here, especially just after Brexit happened, just to see our new relationship, our new chapter opening. One question. Everybody talks about the difficulty of having an FTA concluded, and we also have heard about the position of the Prime Minister of the UK. He doesn't want to have a prolongation of this transition period. What do you expect? Do you expect really these negotiations to finish this year? And what if it's not really happening? It will not happen.
The transition period will end at the end of this year. We've legislated for that in our Withdrawal Agreement Act. So we will leave at the end of the transition period. It will end. The British government obeys the law, and that is the law. And that's why we want to get on and do that free trade agreement, that Canada-style free trade agreement with our European Union friends. If we can't do that, then we'll leave the transition period with a looser arrangement on the Australian model. But I think if we are determined and if we are innovative, then we can get that Canada-style FTA agreed. We can trade successfully and effectively and thereby grow our prosperity and the economies of each of our countries within the European Union and those like the UK which have left it.
Hello, I'm Artem Boldyrev. Suppose the trade agreement is not accepted. How do you think, could it make life of Polish startups entering the UK's market a little bit complicated?
Well, we want the trade deal to be done, but if we can't do the trade deal, then we'll have an Australian-style model. We still want startups in the UK to be successful. We want entrepreneurs to come to the United Kingdom, or from the United Kingdom itself, to start up and be successful. So let's focus on getting the deal done rather than simply assuming that it won't be done. But if it's not done, we will get on and we will still trade successfully.
Waldemar Milewicz, scientific worker at the Warsaw School of Economics. When it comes to the leaving European Union, how would you describe your feelings you witnessed on the 1st of February this year? It was rather you were proud of that nowadays you are that now nowadays you are sovereign country out of the European Union, or it was rather regret that you are losing ties with the European Union? Thank you.
Well, we're leaving the European Union. We're not leaving Europe. You know, some tugboat is not towing us off into the middle of the Atlantic. We're still 10 miles off the northern French coast. So our commitment to our friends and our neighbours and our allies in Europe remains. We still share the same values, the same history and the same culture. But I'm proud that we executed the will of the British people as expressed in the referendum in 2016. That is what democratic governments ought to do. I'm also conscious that not everybody in the UK voted to leave the EU in 2016. So I think that the way that we marked the change in the relations between the EU and the UK, the way we marked that turning of the page to the next chapter in our history was, I think, a sober one and a confident one and a reflective one. And that was the right way in which to approach the future. Not too much of the chair.
Yeah, so it's again me.
Yeah,
like all of us do remember that the Brexit have been postponed several times due to different circumstances. And I would like to talk about one of the most recent one, which is the Irish border. And I would like to ask you your personal opinion about the solution that was accepted at the very end. So how it's working right now. So what's your like attitude towards that, and whether in your opinion it's a long-lasting solution if no other agreement will be met soon? Thank you.
Thanks, Martin. That was a good question. I think it is a solution which enables both sides of the border in the island of Ireland to feel confident that the solution is a long-lasting one. It protects the Belfast Good Friday Agreement. There will be no hard border on the island of Ireland. It will allow the free flow of trade and people to continue, and I think that that will be successful. And we've seen as a result of the peace that there has been in Northern Ireland and on the island of Ireland since 1998, a tremendous burgeoning in trade and prosperity. There are still challenges, mind you, but we've seen a great deal more prosperity in Northern Ireland, particularly in that time. I think that this deal will stick and it will enable Northern Ireland to become even more prosperous and successful. But you're right, it was a terrible stumbling block in the previous negotiations, but again, because determination was shown, because innovation was shown, amongst all the parties, the European Union, the Irish government under Leo Varadkar, the British government under Boris Johnson, and the parties in Northern Ireland that have some differing views, we're able to arrive at a solution that will stick. We now need to implement the Northern Ireland protocol, and we'll be looking at that from both sides to make sure it works effectively, but I've no doubt that it will. There were people in 1998 who said, oh, you know, this will never work, this peace solution will never work. It did. This will be no different. This deal will work.
Good afternoon, Minister. Annie Kraszynska. The European Union has been very vocal in its criticism of Poland's judicial reforms. I'm not sure I've ever heard what the British government's view is of Poland's judicial reforms, but now that it's out of the EU, can you tell me what the British government will be doing bilaterally in this area with Poland?
Well, we recognise that countries, sovereign nations, have the right to order their constitution as they see fit, but within international norms. I rather hope that the Article 7 process at the ECJ can be resolved in such a way that Poland is able to order its constitutional arrangements as it sees fit, but in a way that recognises and honours international norms and the rules of the European Union, the club to which it is a member. But I think in politics these days, all too often, politicians from one country suggest to politicians in another country how they should order their affairs. Given that the presidential election is kicking off in Poland this very day, it's even more important for me and for others not to impose our thoughts or ideas upon matters which are essentially Polish. One more question I'm being told by my ambassador, and of course I always obey my ambassadorial instructions.
Good afternoon. My name is Paulina Kędzierska. I'm a student at Warsaw School of Economics. I also lived in England for 7 years, and I just, a few months ago, I moved back to Poland. But loads of my friends, very good friends, obviously stayed there. They've got families, they bought the houses, they are working. And they're mostly concerned about what if there would be no deal, and what's your opinion about the production, warehousing and logistic level in UK, because that's mostly the jobs which they are doing, and they are really concerned about their jobs. What, you know, what your thoughts about where is it going?
Okay. Well, first of all, there is a deal. We got a deal last November. It was implemented by the British Parliament the end of last month, and by the European Parliament also. And that protects European Union citizens' rights living in the United Kingdom. We have this thing called the EU Settlement Scheme. It's very easy to do. It's all online. It takes about 10 or 15 minutes to complete. It doesn't cost you anything to do it. And when you've done it, and the internal processing has been completed and you've been given your settlement, your settled status, you get an online accreditation, which means that data can never be lost, which means that you have your rights living in the United Kingdom protected. There are something like 2.5 million EU citizens in the United Kingdom who've applied for and got their EU settled status. There are a couple of 100,000 more that are still going through the process. And there are 6 people who have been refused. And that's because of serious criminal record checks which have been unearthed as a result. So 2.5 million, yes. 6, no. That's not a bad, I would suggest to you, record. But what I would also say is tell your friends to go and register. It's very easy to do, because we are an open and welcoming society, and we want those people who live amongst us, work amongst us, are our friends, are our neighbours, to stay and continue with their lives as they always have. And if they want to get involved in the logistics industry, you're quite right, that's a big area where we have a large number of Polish workers. Well, the Midlands is a big area for logistics, the middle of England, because, of course, it's right at the centre of the railway and motorway network. I've got lots of logistics firms in my constituency, so my advice would be to look around, apply for jobs. You'll find them in my constituency, just to give you a bit of local information. Unemployment fell in the last 5 or 6 years faster than anywhere else in the United Kingdom. Our unemployment rate in my town is something like 3.5% of the working age population. It's really quite low. So there are jobs, there are good jobs, and I hope that your friends will be applying for them. And with that, I think I probably have to call time. Can I thank you all for coming and listening? I hope that you found this afternoon helpful and instructive, whether you're a student looking for a bit of useful input to your international relations essay, whether you are a diplomat, hoping to pick up a few nuggets. I rather hope you haven't picked up too many. And whether you are just here to keep out of the cold, thank you very much for coming today. I really appreciate it. Look forward to seeing you again. Thank you.